Welcome to Wise and Nice, a true crime podcast with your hosts
Danny Armstrong
and Kelly Lee.
Please remember that we mean no disrespect to anyone mentioned in this episode or across any of the Wise and Nice platforms. We have an interest in true crime and related topics, and whilst we may offer our own personal views on certain items, it is meant to be educational and as light-hearted as possible. The information we present is collated from research gathered from the internet, and we reference and credit our sources wherever possible.
If you've liked what you've heard and want to join in with us, follow us on our socials, Instagram, Wives and Knives the Pod, Twitter, at Knives Wives, and Facebook, Wives and Knives Pod. We also have a little website where we post photographs and other information about the cases that we research. And this is wivesandknives.wixsite.com/my site.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Wives and Knives.
Yes, hello everybody.
Hope you're all doing well out there. And by the time this is released, it will have been Halloween, so I hope you had a lovely Halloween.
Definitely.
How are you, Kelly?
Well, I'm fine. Amy, I'm proper fine, I promise. I'm good, thank you, yeah. I went to Blackpool the other day, went on the big wheel.
Very nice.
Had fish and chips and lots of candy.
Lovely.
Yeah, good.
Very good.
What about yourself?
I am fine. I'm all good. But I have had a week where loads of little things have gone wrong. It's like my lunch at work opened in my bag. I've spilt things. I've broken things. I've had such a clumsy week, and I want to draw a line under it. But
yeah, a lot of bad juju, I feel.
Definitely. Anyway, I am going to tell you about Slender Man this week, and I've been sort of obsessed with this case for quite a while, but more the mythology and the stories behind it. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about who Slender Man is and where he originates from, and then the crime that he inspired.
Dun, dun, dun.
Exactly.
Can we say a couple of hellos before you get...
Go for it.
I want to say hi to Magda and Marge, a.k.a. Dom, who've been listening recently, and also to Emma, who had a quick chat with my dad, saying how much she likes our podcast. So, hi, Emma.
So cute. Hello, Emma. Okay. So, on June the 8th, 2009, a Paranormal Pictures Photoshop contest was launched on a forum called Something Awful. And the contest required participants to, like, take an ordinary photograph and then Photoshop it to make it look creepy through, like, any form of digital manipulation that they could, and then try and, like, pass it on as an authentic photo on a number of, like, paranormal forums, which I think is great, and I love looking at photos like this. So the Something Awful forum users soon began sharing these, like, fake paranormal creations. And what they do is, like, layer up images with, like, ghosts or aliens or just, like, creepy looking things. And it's normally accompanied by, like, a fabricated witness account to make it more convincing. So they come with, like, a little story, and I love shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really into writing and creative writing, and I've recently attended a ghostwriting workshop, and I've written, like, a little ghost story.
Oh, yeah.
I need to finish it off, but, like, I could imagine one of these photos accompanying that.
Oh, okay.
So into it. So I get the attraction to stuff like this. So the contest started on the 8th of June, and on the 10th of June, a Something Awful forum user called Victor Serge, whose real name is Eric Knudsen, if I probably pronounced it wrong, who knows, posted two black and white photographs of unnamed children and a short description of Slender Man. And he's described as a mysterious creature who stalks children, and you can see him in the background. So these photos, like, he's not the focus. Like, you have to kind of look in the back, which is like creepy Where's Wally, which I find even more, like, tantalising to be like, ooh, what's going on? So the day after, the 11th of June, the Victor Serge user continued to sort of improve upon the myth. He added another photo and a fake doctor's account about what had happened. And these pictures were so well done, really impressive. I'm sure you've seen them.
I was going to say, I think I have, yeah.
They're dead easy to access. And if you start accessing them, oh, you can go down such a rabbit hole of, like, fan art and stuff like that. And they are creepy. So Slender Man, like, really ignited something. It proper went viral because it was so well done and it was so unnerving. And like I said, it spawned so much fan art, but also, like, cosplay. You can buy Slender Man costumes and people dress up as him. And online fiction, particularly with a website known as Creepypasta that you've probably heard of. So on Creepypasta, there's loads of, like, horror stories and short, like, flash fiction snatches of tales that are easily copyable. So they get spread from site to site, ending up on places like that are a bit more mainstream, like Tumblr and stuff like that. So Slender Man quickly got sort of taken from the creator and became everyone's to manipulate and retell. And it was the subject of so many stories by, like, multiple authors, but it had this overarching myth of Slender Man. So one of the, like, things that happened was people gave Slender Man a history. So stories got linked to Slender Man that weren't actually initially about him, but there was enough things that if you wanted to tie them together, you could. So there's a 16th century German, like, folklore, which was about, like, a creepy figure in the forest snatching children, taking them away. And that became an early reference to Slender Man, even though it wasn't. So it's like confirmation bias. If you want to find something there, you can, kind of thing. And videos were made as well. So the first video series involving Slender Man evolved from a post on the Something Oral... not Something Oral. Oh my God, not Something
Where
Oral.
Is your brain
forums,
right now?
Something Awful forums. And it was a user called Sigaris. And it tells, like, a story of a fictional film being made at a fictional film school by a fictional friend who had stumbled upon some, like, troubling footage whilst filming his first feature. And it was called Marble Hornets. And then that was put online as if it was real. And the video series had, like, stage footage in a, like, YouTube style. And there was a lot of, like, alternate reality gaming within it. And it described experiences with Slender Man. So it became, like, a whole other world. So the alternate reality gaming also incorporated a Twitter feed and a YouTube channel. So it was like, yeah, like spawning a whole new world out of Slender Man. And this, like, Marble Hornets channel had over 250,000 subscribers and 55 million views. Like, it went viral before going viral was essentially a thing. There's loads of other, like, Slender Man themed YouTube serials that followed. There was one called Every Man Hybrid and one called Tribe 12 that were really popular. So that was back in 2009. And by 2012, Slender Man was such a popular sort of niche online that it was adapted into a proper like video game called Slender the Eighth Pages. And within its first month of release, it was downloaded 2 million times. There was also several other variants of this game, including Slender Man's Shadow. And then there was one for iOS and another app. So it went from this one guy's photography competition to almost like its own little industry. There has also been a film, an independent film about Slender Man, and a lot of other films that have taken inspiration from it. There was a £10,000 Kickstarter campaign based on creating a Slender Man film in 2013, and it was announced that Marble Hornets, the AGR game, was going to be a film as well. So really big business for Slender Man. And what I mean is, if you want to believe that Slender Man is real, you can consume so much media that will say, yeah, he is. Yeah, look what happened, kind of thing. So if you were young and impressionable, which you are, it would be easy to immerse yourself in a world where reality and fiction are very blurred. So just in case any listeners don't know who Slender Man is or what he does, according to the creepypasta fandom, Slender Man is a being, male in appearance, who has extremely long, slender arms and legs. He also appears to have, depending on different sources, 5 to 8 black tentacles that protrude through his back. And some photos you can see his tentacles, sometimes you can't. And therefore it's theorised that he can contract these tentacles within him at will. He's described as wearing a black suit, very similar to like the classic Men in Black kind of aesthetic, like really, really smart. And as his name suggests, he is very thin. He's also able to stretch his legs and arms, like Stretch Armstrong, that old 80s toy. I had one of those and I still have one, just so you know. And the idea is that he can ensnare and entrance and snatch his prey. And once his arms are outstretched, his victims are put into like a hypnotized state, and they're just utterly helpless and can't not walk towards him. So he doesn't have to be violent, he doesn't have to be quick. They will come to him, and that's creepy in itself. So these tendrils that he has from his back, like tentacle things, he can also create them from his fingers. And he walks in a similar fashion to like Dr. Octopus. Like he just, is probably the best way. Yeah. He has this superhuman stretching ability, and it's not really stipulated as to whether like he absorbs, kills or takes his victims, but there's lots of like talk about him having his own kingdom and he'll take his victims there. And the scariest thing is like there's never any bodies and never any evidence is left behind, so he just makes children vanish is the top to tail. So his face is almost looks like he's wearing a morph suit, like it's pale and slightly ghosty. Sometimes it's like it's wrapped in a gauze or a cloth. And he has been portrayed wearing a hat, so occasionally a bowler or a fedora or a top hat. Not always at all, like the images that I think of, he isn't.
Yeah,
but
agreed.
The more I got into it, the more variations I found. Also, sometimes he's wearing like a neck scarf in either red or grey, which I didn't know until I started looking into this. Like I said, super pale, and when he's walking, his hands just like flop on either side. A little bit Jack Skeleton-y.
Yeah.
From Nightmare Before Christmas, and he has long coattails and, yeah, really like shiny shoes as well. So much of like the fascination that spawned this, like, how should I put it, like spawn this kind of mythos, I suppose, that surrounded Slender Man is all the mystery that he's wrapped in. So despite the fact that he is rumoured to kill children, it's difficult to say, like, what his motive and objective is. Like, does he want to kill them? Does he want to take them? It's slightly different and never confirmed anywhere you read it. He's often reported to be found in the woods or like in parks and things like that. And he's always in the background looking at large groups of children. It's commonly thought that he is hard to capture on camera, but can be captured on film, and sometimes you don't quite see him, but you'll see him in the photo kind of thing. And he doesn't seem concerned about, like, he doesn't only come out at night, he can be there anytime. And it's said that he enjoys stalking people, and once people have caught a glimpse of him, they become overly paranoid about his existence, and he can take over their thoughts. And it's like psychological torture, like, you can feel him watching you, but he isn't there. But then you'll catch him out of the corner of your eye, but then you can't see him and you don't know if you're making that up. It's like that kind of psychological presence. I said he's got shiny shoes, but sometimes it looks like he's floating, sometimes it looks like he's drifting. And yeah, so like everything creepy. And even though, like, he was made up on the Something Awful forums, people claim that they've seen him. Like, people are so into it. And whether they just like that they're adding to the mythos or they believe they have, there's loads of sightings. And he's been seen peering into open windows, on desolate lanes and secluded roads, and in forests. His main intentions appear to be kidnapping the children, but, like, we don't know because this is ever evolving.
Yeah.
So, like I said, if you want to believe in Slender Man, there are so many things online that look authentic to, like, vast reporting on the history of him, which goes well before he was created. And they're just there to solidify the mythology around him. There's like Romanian fairy tales, The Legend of the Tall Man, featuring a description that's similar to Slender Man. I'll read you a little bit. It says, a tall man stood in the clearing, dressed as a nobleman, all in black. Shadows lay over him, dark and cloudy at midnight. He had many arms, all long and boneless. Snakes, all sharp as swords as they writhed like worms on nails. He did not speak, but made his intentions known. So that's way before he was invented. But if you read that, you can be like, oh yeah, that was Slender Man. And whether the original creator of Slender Man got inspiration from these things, we don't really know. So in that Romanian fairy tale, a tall man causes a mother to kill her husband and child before he slides from a fireplace and, like, comes into a house and stuff. There's things in English mythology where there's a myth referencing Tree Man, who's said to have stood with a slim body and long appendages that look like tree branches, and he's only known to be seen in woods. And it's a story that parents used to tell their children, that if, like, they ran off and they were naughty, that, like, Tree Man would get you. So if you want to believe, there's enough stuff there. So I want you to keep all of this in mind, the games, the YouTube, the Twitter, the fact that he's embedded in history, all this fan art, when I tell you about today's case. So, born in 2002, Peyton Lutner was raised in Wisconsin, and she had a relatively normal early life. She had a mum and dad, Stacy and Joe, and they were happy. It was very, very normal. When she entered fourth grade, she befriended Morgan Geisner. He was, like, a shy but, like, awkward and a bit of a strange girl who was sat on her own. So Morgan had not had, like, the same solid upbringing as Peyton. So Morgan's father suffered with schizophrenia, and whilst her mum did her the very best to give Morgan a great childhood, the family were under a lot of pressure, and it's said in several reports that her mum spent so much time, like, looking after her dad that she was often left on her own quite a lot. And Morgan found solace in the internet, and at a young age she was hooked on forums. Like, that was her thing, and I'm talking like 9, 10 here. She was young to have complete free range of the internet. And she was interested in all things paranormal and spooky. She loved ghost stories and looking at pictures of anything horror related. And she would go into school and still tell all these stories to her friends. So she was only like 10, so pretty young, and she was going in telling them like horrific stories or like creepy stories. And just a guess, but I'm thinking that telling these stories was her way of getting attention. But, like, I don't find that particularly odd or concerning. Like, I don't think she should have had access to that much internet so young or anything. But to have an interest in all things like paranormal, creepy, horror, I don't think is that weird. I was that, like, strange kid that was into aliens and stuff really young. So
I don't find that initially, like, red flag-ish.
No. However, her, like, obsession for these things was intense, and she would tell them more stories and more gruesome things. And it got to the point where the kids were a bit freaked out by her, and they didn't want to be friends with her anymore. So she was just left a very lonely girl. And this is when Peyton stepped in. And she just felt super sorry for Morgan. She thought that everyone needed a friend, and she was quite sweet. So she introduced herself to Morgan, and they became really good friends, like, straight away. And they were proper best friends. You know the feeling when you have, like, a best friend at that age and you think you'll be friends forever? Like, it's super intense. And it was all sleepovers and doing everything together. And there's so many photos of them. They look so happy together and just, like, very normal, happy young girls. And Morgan was still into all these, like, creepy stories she'd read online. And Peyton wasn't into it that much. But she took an interest because Morgan liked it, even though she found it scary. And Morgan was actually really creative. She was very good at art, and she would often draw her own, like, fan art and pictures inspired by the stories she'd read. And she'd show them to Peyton, and Peyton would look at them and be like, yeah, that's cool, because they were best friends. And it wasn't that their whole friendship, like, was just about creepy stories and stuff. There was loads of other, but it was Morgan who was interested in them. And they went on like this for a good while, like, just super good friends, and both seemed pretty happy. But after a while, two became three when another girl called Anissa Wire moved into the same apartment building as Morgan. They were all the same age, and Anissa had loads in common with Morgan. And she seemed a bit jealous of how Morgan was super close to Peyton. So lots of things I've read and listened to have said about how, like, threesome friendships don't often work. I don't particularly have experience of this. Not because I've never had more than one friend. But I have had, growing up, there's been a few times when I've been in a three, and it's been, like, really good. Stop looking at me like that. I'm on about friendships. Or am I?
So am I.
Like, it's been a really good vibe. But I do know what people are referring to, because I've also been in friendships with, like, a bigger group of girls, and there's always one that's kind of the butt of the joke.
The Jerry. Like, from Parks and Rec?
Yes, yes. The Jerry from Parks and Rec.
No, I don't have a good experience of threes in terms of friendships working out. I think there's always, like you say, even in a three, there's always one that's, like, on the lower rung.
Yeah.
Two besties, and then the third wheel.
The third one. Well, yeah, so that's kind of seemed how it was, because Morgan and Peyton had this long-standing friendship, and Anissa was like the new girl, just kind of fitting in with them. But it seemed Anissa wasn't happy with that, and she was intent on like being besties with Morgan. And it wasn't like that hard because of proximity, and Morgan and Anissa living really close together. They'd get the bus to school together, so they'd be having conversations that Peyton wasn't part of. And whether Anissa did beforehand or just because Morgan did, Anissa said she loved all this creepy stuff online. I couldn't find out for sure if she actually did or she said it to endear herself to Morgan, but they realised that they both loved creepy, like looking on creepypasta, horror stories, paranormal things. So they would spend a lot of time looking things up online without Peyton, because she's not into that kind of stuff. And this was when the two girls came across Slender Man, and they became bloody obsessed with him. Obviously, there's so much media to consume on the subject, and they wanted to learn everything about him. They believed that he had a kingdom, and the only way to like gain access to his kingdom but be on his good side was to sacrifice a child. And it was like they were scared of him, but they wanted to be with him as well. They were just totally obsessed, and all of their conversations started to surround him and this fictional world and talk of Slender Man. And at this point, it was really upsetting Peyton. And not just because like she was a bit left out or anything, but she was actually really scared. These stories were really horrible that the two girls were tell it, and she was also really concerned because when it came to Slender Man, it seemed like Morgan really fucking believed it. Like, it was as if Anissa was like, oh, it's like this funny story and it's scary, and but I don't really believe it. But Morgan seemed to like really, really think it was real, and she was really scared. So the dynamics of the trio has shifted, and now Peyton was the one being pushed aside. But they were all still pals. And this leads me to May the 30th, 2014, when the then just 12-year-old girls decided to have a sleepover. And this is something they did all the time. Like, having a sleepover wasn't a weird one-off or anything. But this one was a little different because Morgan and Anissa had, like, planned what they'd do and everything like that. So they were sleeping at Morgan's house, and they'd been out ice skating in the day, and they got back, and rather than staying up late like they normally did, like gossiping or like telling creepy stories, Morgan just said she wanted to go to sleep straight away, which was hugely out of character. But they did. Like, Peyton didn't think much of it. She thought Morgan must just be really tired, and they all went to sleep. So super early the next morning, Peyton woke up and found that Morgan and Anissa weren't in the room. She went to find them. They were on the computer looking at these forums, and they said they hadn't woken her up because they didn't want to disturb her, but she was feeling a bit left out. They had donuts for breakfast, and they were talking about what they should do that day, and Morgan said that it would be really good if they all went to the local park. So Morgan's mum agreed and drove them to the park, which is called David's Park. And once they got to the park, Morgan then said they should play hide and seek. She said she'd count and like close her eyes. So Anissa and Peyton run off now into the woods that surrounded the park. When they're alone, Anissa says it would be a great idea if Peyton was to lie on the floor and she'd cover her with sticks and leaves so that she was hidden. And Peyton's like, yeah, sure. So she gets down, lies on the floor, and Anissa covers her up. And then she hears Anissa run off and is silent for a while. She thinks she can hear Morgan counting in the distance and then stop. And then she can hear feet coming towards her. Then suddenly there's like a big thud and someone is on top of her chest. But she's still got all these leaves and twigs over her eyes. So she starts thrashing around to try and like get the leaves off her face, and she sees that it's actually Anissa that's like sat on top of her holding her arms, and Morgan is stood up behind. Morgan takes her backpack off her shoulder and takes out a knife. Morgan then joins Anissa on top of Peyton, and she leans down and whispers in Peyton's ear, "I'm so sorry." Then, they're both on top of her, and Morgan just starts frantically stabbing Peyton while Anissa holds her down. Peyton was stabbed 19 times all over her body. And when the attack was finished, Anissa and Morgan told Peyton they would go and get help and make sure she was okay. Then they run off. But Peyton didn't believe them. She'd been stabbed 19 times and she managed to stagger out of the woods onto the public path where she collapsed. She was still conscious though, and a cyclist came over to her straight away and called an ambulance. Peyton was rushed to hospital. But luckily, the 19 stab wounds, only two were severe and the rest were they were still muscle deep. They were still bad, but she managed to survive. Out of the two severe stabs, one of them had missed her heart by just a few millimetres. So she was extremely lucky to be alive, and she was able to tell the police exactly what had happened to her. So it wasn't long before Anissa and Morgan were caught. It was literally a few hours. They had left the woods and just ran, with no destination in mind. And they were caught 5 miles away, covered in blood with the blood-soaked knife in her bag. And there was clearly no plan, because they just confessed and they said that they had had to sacrifice Peyton to Slenderman and that they were on their way to Slenderman's kingdom. So, once arrested, it came out that Morgan had been experiencing hallucinations since an early age, seeing things such as ghosts, colour melting down walls and imaginary friends. Correctional officers witnessed Morgan talking to herself often and suffering with these hallucinations. Morgan was held in Winnebago Mental Health Institute, where she was diagnosed with early onset schizophrenia, which had been left untreated. After diagnosis, they focused on explaining the trial process to Morgan, but still didn't, apart from talking therapy, there was no sort of further therapy to treat her mental state. And she was left untreated for a few more months, which led to a state of psychosis. She was then medicated and sent to a jail, but kept deteriorating. And she became, she was suffering with suicidal thoughts, things like that. So she was transferred back to this mental health institute. Anissa wasn't really exhibiting signs of mental health problems, although it was investigated thoroughly. So an investigation went on, but because they knew everything that had happened, it didn't really take that long, and Morgan was charged with attempted first degree homicide and a Class A felony, and Anissa was charged with attempted second degree homicide and a Class B felony. Morgan was sentenced to 40 years in a psychiatric unit, and she's still there now. Anissa was released in 2021, even though she was meant to stay in there till she was 37. But there's a lot of conditions. So she is required to live with her father. She also has to submit around-the-clock GPS monitoring and receive regular psychiatric treatment. So when I said there was nothing no psychiatric conditions identified within her, she's still undergoing treatment and stuff. So there must be something that I didn't find out about there. But yeah, she's undergoing treatment and her internet use will be monitored by the Department of Corrections for the rest of her life. She's forbidden from accessing any websites outside of her father's home as well. So that is the case.
Wow.
Peyton made a full recovery. Obviously, it's a huge thing to go through, and I'm sure the impact on her is absolutely monumental, but she is okay, she's alive, she's done some interviews that you can have a look at, but I say that she's remained quite out of the public eye. It's just the odd interview. And yeah, that's all from some like fake story and a manipulated photo. But it's very interesting because how much do you think they believed? How much is there any sort of evil there? Is it just a lot of untreated mental illness? Where does the responsibility lie? Do you know, it's an interesting one to think about. And
yeah, definitely.
I'd love to hear anyone who has listened, like, their opinions on it, because it's one of those cases where I can understand so many different opinions on the outcome. They were both tried as adults as well, because of the severity of the case, despite only being 12. But then also, I'm like, you should still know right from wrong when it boils down 12. To it. And
yeah.
It's just, I think it's a very complex case.
Totally. I think teenage girls in particular have a lot going on. And then if you add in the urban legend / mythology of something like that, like Slender Man, I can understand why they would get wrapped up in it.
Yeah.
I feel like if they were 22,
yeah,
then I'd find it a little bit like harder to believe.
Yeah. What's that term that means madness of two?
Folie à deux.
Folie à deux. I do get a little bit of folie à deux vibes in there as well.
If it wasn't for the... I also get a lot of Mean Girl vibes in there as well. You know, I think ultimately it comes down to somebody being jealous of a friendship.
Mm.
And what's the quickest way to sort that problem out?
And on that basis, I know it was Morgan who used the weapon.
Yeah.
But how culpable...
Exactly.
Is Anissa.
Who's still locked up and who isn't.
Yeah.
You know, in that respect, I think Anissa's... I don't think it's right that she's out, even with limitations.
Yeah.
You're extremely culpable in that. Extremely.
Definitely. And I didn't include some things that I heard because I didn't know where they'd come from at all, but I had heard that they were supposed to do the attack the night before but then chickened out. So there was definitely some sort of egging each other on.
There was planning in there.
Yeah.
And then why stop at 19? That's what makes me... It is like, did you just then realise that you weren't... That Slender Man wasn't appearing? And you weren't being whisked away to a... Well, what I imagine in your head you thought was a fun, like, land to go to. You know, did that then suddenly think, oh, shit, and stop?
Yeah.
You know, I think as well, to be stabbed 19 times and only have two wounds that were very serious speaks to, thank God they weren't 22 and a lot stronger, because I doubt that she would have survived.
No.
And I don't think this, apart from the Slender Man angle, there are lots of cases, not always teenage girls and teenage boys as well, where... Mm. They do horrible things.
Well, recently, in very close to the area that I live in, a girl was attacked with a hammer. She's fine. Like, she must be traumatised, but she's alive and she just had some stitches and was in and out of hospital quite quickly. So I assume she's okay. But she was a young girl, like a young teenager, attacked with a hammer. And we were like, oh my God, who's done that? Like, how terrifying. And we found out it was another teenage girl, young girl.
Teenage girls are horrible.
Definitely.
You need to watch out. Add in Slender Man or choose your phantom, you know, add it in.
Mental, like undiagnosed, untreated mental illness, feelings of loneliness and finding like someone who validated your beliefs. That's a really powerful thing. there's a lot of on sites like Reddit and stuff like that, which I love. Like, I love Reddit. Oh, I think it's Reddit. Great. But there's also a lot of people that are really coming after the parents of, and like, we don't know. Like, I don't know what type of parents they were, if they were bad parents, but people are basing their bad parents on that their children were accessing this information. And I think, you know what, like, I can understand how that would happen. Like, and like I said, kids having an interest in horror and aliens and ghosts and stuff, I don't think is that concerning. Alyssa and Morgan and Peyton's parents all knew of Slender Man. It wasn't like, oh my God, what are they on about? And they knew it as this creepy story that kids make up online. And so they weren't they weren't hugely concerned about it, which again, I think is understandable. Like, I have no idea what was going on in their home lives, but just based on the fact that kids had access to that, I don't feel that that makes them respond. They had no idea that was going to be the outcome.
No, definitely not. I mean, you can go back to other cases, one in particular from this country, where, you know, they've tried to blame horrible crimes on a horror movie. You know, why do that? Why deflect from bad parenting or just busy parenting? Yeah. You could speculate, particularly in Morgan's case. I wouldn't say that her parents, from what you've said, were necessarily bad, but they had a lot going on.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, everything else has to factor into that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Money, you know, circumstances.
Yeah, we've no idea about sort of the health support that her father was receiving as well. Like, we don't know. So I found some threads on Reddit particularly cruel and making assumptions. But, you know, you're always going to find that.
Of course.
Online. When I was 10 and 11, the internet was barely a thing. But as soon as I had the internet, I think I was about 13, 14, it was like dial-up, you know, it's like...
Nobody pick up the phone.
Yeah, they won't pick up the phone, that kind of thing. Like, I was looking, like, Googling and looking at things that I shouldn't have been, and... Like, yeah, so I don't find that concerning. It was how they acted on it.
Yeah, that's the big thing for me. I remember, like, being really, not obsessed, but heavily interested in, like, Candyman and things like that. Never once wanted to summon him and go and live with him.
You know, didn't you ever shout Candyman into a mirror?
No.
Oh, I did.
No. Twice I got to, and then I stopped on the third one. And then, because one time did it with a group of friends, and the one guy that did do it three times ended up in casualty that night because he choked on a chicken bone. And I was like,
there you go.
Obviously, made confirmation the right
bias. If you're looking for it, you'll find it.
True. Or just, you know, why tempt fate?
No, I'm the kid that was like, we're all going to go into the bathroom.
Bloody Mary was big as well when I was younger.
I do know of that, yeah.
Definitely
know. There was a house that a witch lived in near me, and we used to go and, like, it was a derelict house. There wasn't, like, a little old woman being like, what are these kids doing? But we'd, like, dare each other to walk up the drive and touch the door and go around the back and stuff like that, and I, like, buzzed off that. So I can see the attraction to Slender Man and the thing. I think the difference is a grounding in reality outside of the internet, which I always had, and they didn't, and that's a shame. But I'm very glad Peyton survived.
Absolutely.
And I hope that they're all getting the treatment that they need. Yeah.
Do you believe in Slender Man, I guess, is the big question. after researching what you researched.
But I believe that, and I'll always stand by this, that if you believe in something strong enough, the effect of it can be felt, because I think that stands with religion. Yeah. I think I'm going to get a bit, this is a bit like him sharing my own views on religion with the internet. But I believe that people find a lot of comfort and solace and a lot of good things within religion because they believe in it. Not because of a divine presence, but it's because they believe in it. And that's great, but I don't, and I can't force myself. But similarly, with anxiety and things like that, like, if I, for some fucking stupid reason, my brain convinces itself that something's bad or scary or I should be worried about something, I will physically be worried about that thing.
Yes.
And I can't control that. And I think that that is in like a negative way of which religion works. And if you believe things will be better and you will feel better and it changes your outlook, I feel like there's some sort of correlation between believing, if you believe something strongly enough, I believe that there's physical effects, but I also don't think you can choose what you believe. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So like, I'm always going to have anxiety and I can control it as best as I can, and I do, and I'm fine. But there will be some times when I'm like, I can't help how I feel.
Yeah.
And I think people who are deeply religious must get benefits from that in a similar way. Like, they believe it so strongly that it does give them hope and make them a stronger person, and that's great. That's really good.
Until it doesn't.
And those girls believed in Slender Man that much that for them it was as good as real for that time. It's like conjecture is stronger than truth. I've heard that somewhere at some point. And I thought, even if something is untrue, if enough people believe it, it might as well be.
Exactly.
And I think they're very, like, powerful messages and things that I've always thought about. There we go. So next week we're going to do a case each, that my case is like solved, wrapped up, and it's essentially me telling you to watch a documentary on it that was great. But I am keen to share that with you because it was such a brilliant, emotive, sad, interesting thing to watch. And Kelly, you're going to do like a historical case.
Yeah, it's one that I was reading about recently. It is unsolved, but it's very interesting. Not quite enough information for a full one. So yeah, it ties in nicely. Yeah.
Fabulous. Well, I hope you all stay safe out there and we'll see you next week.
Yeah. See you soon.
Bye.